going to show you a prayer for your teacher, whether it's the teacher of your children or your teacher personally, but maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, junior church teacher, or a public school teacher, private school teacher, homeschool teacher. You know, we need to be praying for them. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 down through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of our God." So as we look at this text, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And as he writes, he just casually references that he is praying for them. But the application this morning is that we take these principles. Yes, we should be praying for each other, for all of us. But I really want to specifically apply it to our teachers. You entrust your boys and girls to those teachers every day, whether they do go to a private school or a public school or a home school. Their minds and their morals and their character are entrusted to somebody else every day, Monday through Friday, for two-thirds of the year. You and I should be praying for those teachers. Even as Jen mentioned when she was teaching these little boys and girls, she said, "I pray in my classroom all the time." Now, we know she's not standing up and holding her hands up and praying out loud because we no longer have that allowable in our culture and our society. But in the recesses of her heart, she's praying for her students and she's praying for herself to have the skills and the patience to do the job God has called her to do as a school teacher. And you and I, we should be praying for them. So the first one I want you to see is in verse 9. As the apostle pens these words under the inspiration of God, what does he say? He says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." So here we find the apostle praying for the folks in Philippi, and I'm challenging you this morning to pray for the teachers you know, that their love may abound more and more. You see, we really need teachers who love to teach, who love kids, whether they're kids who are in preschool or whether they're kids who are in college. We want our teachers to love our kids. And so this text reminds us that we should be praying, "God, help my boy or my girl's teacher. Help them to love those kids. Not do it just as a job, not just punching the clock, not just disseminating information, but actually looking in the hearts and minds and eyes of our boys and girls and loving them and wanting the best for them." The teachers I know do love their students. And certainly, we may hear a lot of negative things about our schools or about our teachers, but the teachers I know really do love their students. A few weeks ago, Harmon Boyce was bulling and jamming, trying to get something done, and one of his old students came by, and the gentleman came by. "Well, how do you hope, you think he's 45 years old? At least. So he came by, and he actually came by to talk to Harmon about spiritual things. And Harmon was just in the midst of a crazy thing, so he called me on the phone. He said, "Pastor, could you take a few minutes to meet with this guy?" I said, "Absolutely, send him over." So he came over, and we sat down, and I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. He prayed. But as he was in my office talking to me, he's talking to me about how much he loved his teacher, Harmon Boyce. Here he is, 45 years old. He's been out of school for many years. And, you know, Harmon is now this sage of wisdom as this guy's looking at him all these many years later. But you know what? That's because Harmon loved his students. Still does, even though they're 45 years old. So when you see this here, when you understand this, the apostle is saying, you know, I'm praying for you that your love would abound more and more. And it's interesting that he qualifies the statement when he says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, knowledge and judgment can taint love. If we're not careful, the more we know, the harder we can get. The more indifferent we can get. Maybe the more prideful, the more arrogant, to where we begin to think we know better than everybody. And we are a little higher than everybody, and we care a little less. And the apostle says, listen, I'm praying for you that you would love more and more, even in the midst of the increase of your knowledge and understanding and judgment, yet still you will love. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's interesting that the scriptures recognize that as we mature and become stronger, it should be that we become wiser to discern both good and evil. And that's what a teacher should be doing. A teacher, as they grow and as they mature, they should be instilling in with a love and a compassion for their students and understanding of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And we should pray for our teachers to love our students enough to instill that which is right in them. As we go back into our text of Philippians chapter 1, we come down to verse 10 and we see the second area the apostle's praying for. He says, I'm also praying that ye may approve things that are excellent. I like excellence. Don't you like excellence? You know, Jenny has come to work in my office. And one of the things for sure, you know, I like things to be done right. I want them done right in the office. I want them done right in our Sunday school. We went and spent a week at camp. I want it done right in the kitchen. I want it done right out on the sports field. And some people could say, Pastor, you're a little bit of a control freak. And I might say, maybe I am. But wow. But either way, we should strive towards excellence, shouldn't we? All of us. So as we look in this text, he says to us, you know what? I've been praying for you. I've been praying that you would be somebody who would approve all things that are excellent. And you and I, we need to pray for our teachers, that they really do strive towards excellence themselves, as well as challenging their students to strive towards excellence. I remember years ago when my children were still very small, Joy came home with her report card, and she had like A's and B, and I think she had a couple B minuses in there. And I said to her, I said, Joy, why the B minuses? She said, Dad, that's really good. I said, it is good, but could you have done better? She said, well, I could probably do better, but it's good. So I asked the teacher, just as we were having a casual conversation one day, and I said to her, I said, what can I do to help Joy be able to get an A in this class? And the teacher said, well, why do you care? That's a good grade. I said, well, I understand it's a good grade, but I really think she could do better. And she said, well, actually, she's got the best grade in the class. And I asked, but could she do better? Well, yeah, she could probably do better. How can I help her do better? You know, because I want her to do all the potential she has. I want it to be excellent. I think God calls us towards excellence. Amen? And so he's praying here. He's saying, I'm praying for you. I am praying that you would approve all things that are excellent. And we should pray for our teachers to strive towards that which is excellent, not only for them personally, but for their students as well. In fact, the amazing thing is the Bible gives us a standard. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's giving us a standard of excellence. And he's saying, make these things the things of your mind and of your heart. And our teachers, we need to pray for them that as they go to that classroom day after day and they deal with both kids who love to learn and kids who don't even want to be there, yet that teacher would not let excellence slip away. But they would think on those things that are good and pure and great and healthy for our kids, whether it's in math or science or health or whatever it is the subject is today, phys ed or I don't even know all the subjects they do now. My grandson brought me math. I didn't even recognize it. Was it real math? I'm not sure. But whatever it is, we want to pray for our teachers to have that spirit of excellence. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. He's saying, do these things which you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. That's what we want from our teachers. That's what I am praying for our teachers, that our teachers would embrace excellence in their life, that they might be an example in all those areas that they teach, that they transfer to the students that they might receive, that they convey for the students to hear, and that they live, that the students might see. We want our students to see excellence, that they might embrace excellence, that they themselves might strive towards excellence. So we find him praying for the folks in Philippi. He's saying, I am praying for you that ye may approve things that are excellent. Second half of verse 10, it says, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I like that. You and I are all called to sincerity and lack of offense. We're called to that. Now, is it impossible to, it is impossible to never offend. If you live, you're going to offend somewhere, sometimes, somehow. But we should strive not to offend. Amen? And that's hard. It's hard for us to step back and say, well, I am going to go ahead and be a person without offense. I'm going to be sincere in my dealings with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. We need to pray for our teachers to be sincere and without offense. We need to pray that they are able to have a testimony of good conscience in simplicity and godly sincerity, as the text talks about. Not according to fleshly wisdom, but according to the wisdom that God gives. The teachers who are here this morning that we gave the little bags to, each one of you teachers, you're here in God's house because you're stirred towards spiritual things. And as you go into your classrooms, as you go about what you're doing, I know that you have a heart of sincerity. And I commend you for that. And I encourage you to strive to not allow the wisdom of the world to rob you of that love and sincerity that you have to do what God has called you to do in that classroom. And you and I as Christians, we need to pray for them. You know, I look over here and I see Linda LaRocque over here, the principal of the Christian school at the bottom of the hill. So she has to deal with all the pressures of parents, all the pressures of teachers, and all the pressures of students. That's a lot, isn't it? One of the guys in our church became a principal, and he told me after a few years, he said, "Wow, I just want to go back to teaching." It is incredibly hard to be the principal. We need to pray for those folks. We need to pray for our administrators. We need to pray for those that have to balance all of that together. I look back here, Mrs. Dobson. I know that she was at her school. You were the union head for your school right there. What a load of pressure there. As you've got each teacher coming to you with their demands and all of that, and administration and parents and all. We need to pray for folks like that, that they might have that spirit of sincerity and that desire to not offend, but rather to go ahead and portray the grace of God and the wisdom of God, not fleshly wisdom, the text says, but rather that wisdom that comes from the Lord. And how long should they have to do that? Because he gives them a timeline. You know, there's a time to punch out on this. Listen to what it says. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. In other words, your entire life until Jesus comes back. He's saying we should strive to not offend others and to be sincere in our Christian lives. Our whole life long. There's not a punch out time is what he's saying. He's saying until Jesus comes back, every one of us should be sincere and strive to not offend others. And the last one I want you to see is in verse 11 of our text in Philippians chapter 1. It says, he's praying for them to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. Unto the glory and praise of God. He's praying for them that they might bear the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, that they might honor God as they are living their lives. You and I are taking this and applying it to our teachers, and we need to pray for them that they bear the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, turn with me, if you would, over to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read to you in verses 22 and 23 what those fruits of the Spirit are. You should be praying for your teachers to bear these in their lives. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We should be praying for our teachers that they would manifest those things in their lives. You know, it's a little appalling as the last 20, 25, 30 years, it seems like every school year they're putting on the news some school teacher who's gotten involved in some affair with some students in their school. And I see these things on the news and I think, what has happened to our culture and our society? I don't get this kind of craziness. We need to pray for teachers that they have the fruit of the Spirit instead of the carnality of the back alley. We need to pray for our teachers that they bring to these boys and girls that which would honor God instead of the devil. It's easy to step back and complain, to criticize, to put down and demean. But it's something else to pray for them. To each day, as you see that yellow school bus go by your house or stop at the intersection at the end of your road or stop at the railroad track holding you up while you're trying to get to work. to just say a little prayer. God, I pray for these school teachers that all these boys and girls are going to go to that school looking to learn. I pray for them, Lord. I pray for you to help them to love our boys and girls. I pray that you would help them to strive towards excellence. I pray that they would be sincere and without offense in their dealings with those boys and girls and their parents and their co-workers. And I pray that they would be filled with the joy of the Spirit in their lives. They do have an awesome responsibility, just as you and I do. Every boy and girl in our lives is there on loan. They're only there for a little while. This week we did youth camp, and I told you how many kids we had. And we rented the Camp Tecumseh facility up in South Hero. And Camp Tecumseh has a chapel and a brick sidewalk going to their chapel. Camp Tecumseh is for boys and girls with cancer. And so as you walk that sidewalk to their chapel, they have little bricks with names in the bricks. And each one of those bricks with a name is a little boy or a little girl who passed away from cancer. And as I walk that little pathway to the chapel, my heart breaks for those families. You know, my two little ones grew up in my home and now have their own children. But can you imagine losing your child? What a precious, precious soul to lose. Even if they were Christians and gone on to heaven, and many of them were so young, I'm sure they did go great to be with the Lord. But still, it's so heartbreaking. It reminds us how precious the gift of our children are. We need to pray for their teachers. Not just criticize, but pray for them. Encourage them. Do our part to help them. Our children are worth that. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads. And as we come to the end of our service, I'm going to ask you the most important question of all, and that is, do you know the Lord? Because we're asking for you to pray for these teachers that they might have the fruit of the Spirit. It has to start with us knowing Christ as our Savior, that we might pray for them to know Christ as their Savior, and that they might live their faith in a genuine and real way. If you don't know the Lord, then today before you leave, would you come talk to me and let me show you in the Bible how to receive Christ? But as our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you collectively with me this morning to pray for our teachers. And I would like all those teachers to come to the front right up here with me. And myself and those teachers are going to hold hands, and I'm going to ask you to pray for them. So all you teachers, come up here with me. Just slip out and come up here. I know there were more than that. Just slip out and come. Come right around in the circle here. Come around. Come right around in a circle. We're going to make a prayer circle. I know I'm trying hard here. So I want you right now, all of you, as we bow our heads, I want you to pray for this circle of teachers. Let's do that right now.